And so there is a little spare leakage on the side, I think. But if I turn, I mean, when he gets a job, I'll turn him into a mentor, definitely. But you can have that rare privilege as well. You know, basically, they tend to be more from the programming side of the house because I'm the one that makes the phone calls, and those are the people that I know. But periodically, Janelle will give me a list of names that she thinks would be good. And I'll, from the networking side, and I'll call them and get them involved. But you know, it's amazing. When I first started this, which was 5-6 years ago maybe, I actually made phone calls to the people. And I called a bunch of people, you know, something on the order of 25 or 30, and not a single one said no. You know, they all said, yeah, we'd be happy to do it. You know, we'd love to give something back. You know, we got a lot out of Bristol, and this sounds like a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
So not a single one said no. Yeah. I was really impressed.
I didn't even notice that.
Now, I have to admit that I selected the names I was calling because I didn't think they'd say no, but still they didn't. So I thought that was good. Okay, now we're going to stop talking and start actually doing something. Since we're almost done, I'm not even worried anymore. Okay, so triggers. Okay, triggers are something that you write as a little procedure, and it will happen when something happens to the database. So they're related to the database. The trigger isn't related to a program. It's not like a function or a procedure that you call from a program. A trigger is related to a database table, and it will respond if you go and try to do something to that table. So if you set it up that every time I insert a record in this table, I want to know about it, you can set up a trigger that will let you know about it. So no matter who tries to insert a record in that table, what program is trying to insert? It doesn't matter what program is trying to insert the record into the table, you will get, there will be notification, and the notification is usually that you add to another file, you know, or a, kind of a, create a history file of what's happened to that table. So that's what a trigger does, and a trigger acts on insert, delete, or update. Okay, so in other words, you can do all three. You can say, anytime anybody touches this, I want to know. So insert, delete, update. It obviously doesn't do anything about accessing because accessing is not going to change the data. This is about changing the data. And you can do it before or after. So you can say, I can choose to have the trigger fire either before or after the thing has happened. Okay? So, essentially, and you're not supposed to have commit, rollback, or save point in there. So I made a table called Total Notes, and this is where I am going to put whatever happened. Okay, so I just made a table, and this is going to be my history table, basically. And so this is the table that I'm going to put things into. I'm looking at triggers. So, I've got the table, and now I'm setting up the trigger. So the trigger is down here, and the trigger basically, and why isn't the camera showing on that? There we go. The trigger is the same format that we've been using before, create or replace trigger, trigger one. And I'm saying it should be used after an update on new donation one. Okay, so after I have done an update on new donation one, I could list all of the things there. I could list after I insert, update, or delete. But in this case, I just did it on update. Okay, so I've got a declare where I've got the total names change date and the total names total amount So if you go back and look at the table that I just created up here, I have the change date and the total amount. So I have something I want to put into those. Okay. And I could have used the system date, which would have been a lot more effective, and I made that note down here, but I just hard-coded a date in there. Okay. So I've got a date in there, and I've got the total amount that is going to be calculated. So inside the trigger, I am saying select the sum into total amount. Okay, so the sum of the contributions into V total amount from new donation one, and I'm doing this after, and then I'm doing an insert into that table. And we'll look at what I do down below for in a second. So I'm basically saying what I want to put into this notes table is I want to put the sum of the contributions as it is right now, and I want to put the date. Okay, and as I said, system date would have been a better date to use. Okay, once I have written the trigger, I have to create it, just like I have to with a procedure and a function. Okay, so I have to do the compile on it that actually creates the table. Okay, so now I've got a table, a trigger has been created. Okay. So now I'm going to look at the program, and my program I called use trigger one. Okay, so all it does is it has an ID number, a drive number, and a contribution amount that the user enters in. And when the user enters them in, I do an update of the amount. I use the ID and drive number to find the right record, and I update the amount. Okay. So I said, update new donation one, set this to this, and that will trigger the little thing called trigger one, because in trigger one I say, do this after you do an update on new donation one. Well, clearly I'm doing an update on new donation one, so it triggers it. It goes in, looks at new donation one, takes a sum of the total. I now added something, so the sum should have gotten bigger, and then puts that and the date into my notes file. Okay. So, if I had another program that also did updates on new donation data, on new donation one, it also would cause the trigger to fire. So the trigger is not related to just this program. I could have four or five programs that update new donation one. And whatever program was updating new donation one, the actual act of doing an update on new donation one is what causes the trigger to fire. So it's the act of doing the update that causes it to fire. Okay. So the trigger is more associated with the data than it is with the program. It's keeping track of the data. Does that make sense? So I came down here and I put in $300, or rather drive $330. And at that point, it went through, and this was the first thing I had, but I already had something in there. It went through and got the total of what was in new donation one and put it out as $27,99,160. And then I added $45 more, and so it's now up to, I must have added $35 more, but that looks like 45.
Yeah.
Okay. 60 and 95 is indeed 35, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I did apparently 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 300 and 45, and it can't add.
Yeah.
what did I have before? 95, 65 rather, 85. That should have been 150.
What are you looking?
I'm looking up at the top. 50 carry the 1, 714. No, I just can't add. So that's 160. And when...
Okay, yeah. Then you added...
Apparently I deleted something.
It looks like you...
I deleted one of the 10s.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6 became 45. It was 10. Therefore, I added 35, and it became 195.
Yeah, that's what it was. So apparently I deleted something and then added something in, but I didn't tell you about that, and I didn't tell myself about it. So when I looked at this, I didn't do the math, and I said, oh, I just added something. But if you count the records, there were 5 up there and there were 5 down here, and I just added one, and we can see the one I added, so oops, I must have deleted one. Okay, but I didn't bother to tell anybody that I had deleted it. Okay. Honest, it works.
Yeah.
So if we bring up SQL Plus and do it, actually, if you want to. T, and who am I?
And this happened after the update. Like, once you said update...
That's right.
What about, like, the set and stuff like that? Is it, like...
Just wait a minute while I'm trying to remember my password.
No problem.
And we're going to hold our breath and see if I remembered it right. Come on. Yes. No, I
no,
didn't.
I messed you up. I'll be quiet.
P, grocer. It's not supposed to be 11. I think I'm just... This lovely thing that they did where they supposedly made everything, your username, have the 2-nup digit number on it.
Yeah.
But for me, they didn't. So that all the old passwords I have, they didn't change my username. So I go nuts now trying to remember whether this one has, or they changed a few, but not everything.
It's not nice.
So.
I definitely have around then.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at this, if we run this. Because as I said, I'm feeling very, whatever I got there. I'm feeling very much we're ahead of the game. So we actually have time. We're about a day ahead. Okay, so I am going to say here, select asterisk from new donation 1. And let's see if I even have that. Yes, I do.
Yep.
Okay, so I've got that. So I need to find out what's the name of the program going back. The program itself is called Use Trigger 1. So... I'm suspecting I don't have that, but I will check. So I'm going to say edit use underscore trigger 1. And I don't have it. So I'm going to create it. And save it. Okay. And then I'm going to go up and I'm going to find the trigger. And this is called Trigger 1, so I'm going to copy that. And did I not close the other one? Yeah, I didn't. Okay, so I'm now going to say Edit Trigger 1 and paste that in there. Okay, so what do I have to do next?
You gotta compile it.
So I have to say @trigger1 so that I now have trigger1. Hi.
Okay.
We're looking at triggers. So I'm doing @ trigger one. So now I can come in here and say @ use trigger one. And it says enter the value for the ID number, and I don't know what I did. Does any...
333.
Okay. Yeah, I've got, so I've got this, and I'll put in the same things that I put in.
Do you have the old, do you have the table total notes?
Do I have the table total notes? You're right. It is probably going to yell at me. But I'm too late in now, so we'll just...
Brace yourself.
Right.
You might have it.
It was successfully completed, so I'm guessing I must have had it. What was it?
I thought you did that.
Total notes. It's total underscore
right.
notes.
Right. Total underscore notes?
Yeah.
So at some point, I must have done that. Let's see. Create, yeah. Select asterisk from total underscore notes. So apparently I have something in there that I apparently just put in, maybe. So let's take a look at the contributions. So select asterisk from new donation one. Okay, so up above I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Basically, it did a replacement, okay, because I had the 10 and it did the replacement because I didn't have keys and it let me do that. So apparently when I did an update, yeah, wait a minute. Hello?
Hi.
What is an update?
An update, like, changes.
It changes.
Right.
And we were talking, or I was talking like I was doing an insert. Okay. Cancel my confusion or your confusion or everyone else's confusion. We were doing an update, and an update changes data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that I deleted record 10 and then inserted something in there. I was going and talking insert as opposed to talking update. Okay, and there is a difference, folks. Insert makes a new record. Why didn't somebody yell at me?
I was just sitting here in confusion.
Yep, you usually say something.
Yeah,
you always say something.
You don't normally understand yourself.
Okay. So.
Well, that was fun.
Yes, right. So, anyway, I did an update on this particular record. So there is the record, and I did an update on that. And when I did the update on it, it changed it to 30. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, therefore, it still is the same number of records. And I went through this whole lovely conversation about deleting because, as I said, I thought I was, for some reason, I had in my head that I was inserting as opposed to updating.
I thought you were adding it, so it's like adding 30.
Well, then you thought I was inserting too, sort of, or something. I don't know. But anyway. I'm sorry, people at home, ignore everything I said at the beginning of this. So anyway, I am basically doing an update on it. And if I want to do it again, okay. So now let's just do that one again. So I'm now going to say, close the ink layer. I'm over here with the cursor. And I'm going to say I want to do @ use underscore trigger one. Okay, so it's going to run. So this time I'm going to put the 33333 in. And I'm going to put 300 in. And I'm going to put in $10,000.
You put 3,000.
Yeah.
You're right. So we now have to do it again. Okay, and it's not even Monday.
Well, my Monday. I feel like it's,
Okay, so 300 and 1,000 successfully completed.
Yep.
So, what should, if I go to look at the total notes, what should it have in it now?
Wait, you put 1,000 in there.
It should just replace whatever was going with 1,000.
No.
333, whatever
yeah,
ID number is, the 3333, that donation amount is going to change.
Okay, that's right. So if I do a select asterisk from new donation 1, I'm now going to see the 3333 has 1,000. Okay, now, wait a minute, but that's not the question I asked.
Oh.
So you're not right yet.
Not yet.
Well, I gave you the yet. Okay, so now what I want to know is what's going to be in total notes.
That's total contribution. That'll be the sum of all the cont amounts.
Right, which is going to be what?
See, that's why I got all messed up. That's the adding thing.
So, what is it? 70 plus 40, 110 plus 25.
That's not what I think it's going to be, but that's all right.
Let's just see what happens. 1,135, I think. Maybe
yeah.
I got that.
Yeah, that. No, not 35. I think it's 45, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah, 45. Okay.
Because basically there used to be 30 in that record.
Yeah.
I upped it to 1,000, so I added 970. If there used to be 30, and now I've changed it to 1,000, then that's a difference of 970, right?
Why does it say 1145?
Because 970 is what got added in. Not 1,000.
It's 25 plus
okay.
40 plus 20 plus
this
1,
used
plus
to be, have a 30 added in. Okay, so that used to have a 30 added in.
Yes.
I changed that 30 to 1,000.
Yes.
So that's not adding 1,000 to the total. That's adding 970
okay.
to the total.
So it's just it's just updating it to 1,000.
Yeah.
Right, so it's
yeah.
adding 970 because there was already 30 there.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got into
yeah.
the delete business and thought I was deleting a record because I thought I was inserting. And if indeed I was inserting, then I was right. But I wasn't inserting, so I was wrong.
So what was the original number in total amount?
I know.
175.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the original was 175, then when I add 970
oh,
to
yeah,
175,
yeah.
I've got 1145.
For some reason, I thought those were two different records. But they're just updated
records. It's a sum.
Yeah.
What I said here is I want the sum. So
okay.
if I go in and I, but I can only update. I can't insert here. This program only lets me update. So if I go in and do it for an existing record, I'm changing an existing record. And so if I take the one that says 50 and I change it to 150, I'm adding in. So at sign, what was it? Use trigger 1. And so if I come in here and say, okay, now let's go with 12121 and 100, and I'll make it 150. So I'm changing it to 150.
Well, no, you also changed the drive.
Yeah, you did.
It went from 300 to 100.
Curious about that.
No, I'm looking at the record I want to change is this record right here.
Oh,
and
there's two records.
And there's 12121 and 100 and 150.
There's two 1,
that's
1,
right,
1.
And that's why I had to ask for both a match to ID. If you look back at the program, it's asking for a match to ID and to drive.
Oh, I see.
Oh, there we go.
You know, I was looking at the table on the website which is different from the table on SQL.
Yeah, no, I, and you know, I.
Yeah, we're doing
it. I can't keep.
That's irrelevant. That's
right, exactly. Because, I mean, basically, it's not current. Who knows what it has in it? I mean, I played, you know, next semester, it's starting out with whatever I put in this semester, so.
Yeah, changing.
So I'm saying select asterisk from new donation one. And new donation one, that record is now 150. Okay, so it changed the 50. And, okay, that's what it is. So that 50 is now 150. Okay? So now, what is going to show up in the notes when I do it?
It's going to add 100.
It's going to add 100.
So 1,245.
Right. So I'm saying select asterisk from total notes, and it's now 1,245. Because I used to have 50 on that one, now I've got 150, and so I've added 100. Okay? So I'm doing updates. If I do inserts, then I'd just be adding the amount of the insert. But I'm not doing inserts, I'm doing updating. So updating is changing the information. Okay, so it used to include 50, now it includes 150. Okay, is everybody clear on that now? Including me? Okay. So, that's that. Okay, so now more on triggers. Okay, here's another example. I've got a table called call stew. Okay. And right. I have no idea what that stood for. And at the time I wrote it, that's call stew made sense.
Column
student, whatever. but now not so much. Okay. And then I've got a second table called credit range. Okay? And credit range has on it, I don't have anything on call stew, I'm gonna put something in call stew. But credit range has on it that freshmen, the minimum credits is 0 and the maximum credit is 30. Sophomore, 31 to 60. Juniors, 61 to 90. And seniors can go on forever, I decided, so it's 91 to 999, okay? So you can take as many courses as you want as a senior. So that's the table that I set up with the credit range.
Okay.
So I'm basically going to determine what class they are based on this range of how many credits they've taken. Okay, so I have a use stew trig, and that just does an insert. It takes in these four names, four fields, the same four fields that I want to put on the table. So let me go back down to that's the table. Okay, so the table called call stew has an ID number, name, number of credits, and a class level. And I'm asking them to put in all of those things. Okay? And then, so I'm doing an insert. So then I came down and I said, okay, I'm going to make a trigger that goes with that. And my trigger is before an insert on column stew. And then I've got for each row when the new class level is not equal to senior. Okay. So here's my trigger. And I've got a lot of explanation of the trigger down below. So I said, okay, Create or replace trigger call student log. Before insert on call stu. So that's before I do the insert. Okay? And then I said for each row. And for each row where or when. And when new class level is not equal to senior. Somewhere I've got an explanation.
For new class level?
Yeah.
I see the use of old and new in the
Yeah, I think that was actually what I did. So I said, okay, this should be done for each row and when the clause eliminates senior from the checking. Yes, I knew I'd written something. So I'm saying here, this should be done for each row and when the clause eliminates senior from the checking. Okay, so if you're doing an update instead of an insert, you can list columns in this clause. Okay, so I'm doing a update. If you're doing an update instead of an insert, rather, but this is doing an insert. So I'm saying before an insert on columns two, for each row, when the new class level is not equal to senior. In other words, new there is saying the potentially new, the one I'm planning to put in, because I'm doing it before. Okay, so this is, if I change that to after, it would be slightly different. So I'm saying for each row, when the new class level is not equal to senior. If it's an after, it's a done deal.
Yep.
So I don't have to worry about it. But if it's a before, I'm saying the new class level, meaning the thing I'm about to change. Because it actually hasn't changed.
Right, nothing's happened yet.
Okay, so when I use the before, I have to talk what will be happening. And new tells me that the new class level will be made senior. So I'm saying I want to, for each row, when the new class level is not equal to senior. Okay, is not about to become senior. So basically that means I'm doing it for freshmen, sophomore, juniors. Right?
Yep. Right.
Okay. So then I've got the minimum credits and the maximum credits, which I'm going to select. Okay? So I'm saying from minimum credits, select minimum credits, maximum credits into those two areas, V minimum credits, V maximum credits. From credit range, that's the name of the table, where the year name is equal to the new class level. And when I put it in a comparison, I need a colon before the new. Okay? So I'm saying, again, look at what is being planned, not at what actually happened. Okay? If I'm dealing with old, if I'm dealing with an after situation, then it's already happened, and I'm looking to see what happened. But with new, I'm looking to see what is going to happen. Okay? So I've said where the year name equals the new class level. And then I said if new number of credits is less than V minimum, or new number of credits is greater than V maximum, then I'm raising an application error that says the credits are out of range and the thing crashes and doesn't happen.
Wow.
Now, if I put in the error things that we've been putting in, then I could have raised that application there and I could have handled it in the exceptions. So if I put an exception thing in here, remember you have begin and then I can have exception after that. And if I put the exception in for that raise application error, then it wouldn't have crashed. It would do whatever I did told it to do.
So the triggers are actually really good with exceptions.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So if you try to put bad data on, basically.
Yeah.
So triggers are good for not putting bad data in. Okay. And so there is an application error, credits out of range for the new ID number and the new name. Okay. So here I created the trigger and I went to put in person 1234, who was John Doe, had a number of credits of 15 and was a freshman. Okay. So it was happy. Okay. It is doing, it's going to cause the trigger to happen, okay? So it's going to cause the trigger to happen because it is a freshman. It's not a senior, it's a freshman.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, and so, because I'm saying do it before an insert when it's a freshman, sophomore, or junior, basically. So it's a freshman. And so it goes ahead and does the insert. Okay, it went ahead and did the insert and all was well. Then I put in a second record that I said 2345, Jane Doe, 15 credits again, but this time I put in a junior. Okay. So it's not the right range. So it is going to raise the application error. And that's right. You've been listening to me too long. It is raising the application error. Okay, credit out of range, da-da-da-da. And it crashed because that's not the right range for a junior. Okay, so then I went down and I said, okay, now I'm going to put in one more. And I put in 3, 4, 5, 6. I put in 60 credits, which is not right for a senior, but it let it go through because I had said for each row that's not a senior. So in other words, I didn't do checking on seniors. And so that was allowed in because I had said I only wanted to check freshmen, sophomores, and juniors.
So if you want to fix that, you just get rid of that when statement in your trigger.
Yes, right. Okay. But with that when statement, for that for each row when, I'd get rid of that whole thing and just do it on an insert. Because the for each row when it's not a senior is what, let that senior through with only 60 credits. Okay, because I decided not to check a senior. If I took that out, then the senior wouldn't make it through. Okay. So that's how you do triggers. And then I've got a homework assignment that is the end. But it's an awful homework assignment. So it's going to keep you busy. What we're doing there is looking at procedures, functions, and triggers. Okay? So consider this week's assignment and next week's assignment, basically. So it's there isn't an assignment next week. So this is a long one. So this covers the 2 weeks. Okay. So and I will look at the other program in just a minute, but what's happening now is I'm got some programs that I want to look at on Tuesday. So after Thanksgiving, we don't obviously meet again this week. The Tuesday after Thanksgiving, I will look at some programs and I think I can do everything I want to do in one day. If not, we will run over into Thursday, but I don't think so. So I think Thursday is open. So basically, I will not be done, however, in my classes that follow this. So it will just be an open lab that 1 hour here. So if you're having problems, you're welcome to come on Oracle, and I'll be here. But it's come and get help for homework.
Was it next Thursday?
Next Thursday. Now,
not Tuesday.
If I run next, not next Tuesday, I've got some stuff happening next Tuesday. It might run into Thursday, but I'm sure it won't take all of Thursday. So basically, we'll see after Tuesday whether it runs into Thursday or not. But I'm done on Tuesday, I think. And then Thursday is homework. Then the last week of classes, okay, looking at the calendar.
In the 11th.
Right. So if we look at the calendar for December, December 2nd we have a class.
Yep.
December 4th is hopefully just a help session.
Yep.
But the following week is definitely help sessions.
Awesome.
Okay, and so basically I will not do anything that week. Now, so you can come in and do homework,
awesome.
Basically. But that's going to be true of all my classes.
Absolutely.
So my Monday class will be true of. So anybody can come to a lab from Monday from 11 to 2 on that week. And anybody can come to a lab from 9:30 to 2 on both Tuesday and Thursday, the 9th and the 12th. Now, one day that week, you will get your final. And it depends on which day it's due. I'm guessing it's a Tuesday. But if you check the final schedule, you can tell me whether it's Tuesday or Thursday. But I'm guessing it's a Tuesday, which means I will give you the final by Tuesday. And it is due via email on the 16th, if it's the 9th. Okay? If the final isn't until the 11th, then we won't run until the 18th. It's an online final. I'm going to be home correcting. I'm not going to be here. You're going to be home doing whatever you're doing. We're not going to meet that week, okay? Huh? On finals, never.
No.
So, I mean, basically, you're on your own to do the final. I'll give it to you that week, and you can come in and ask me any questions, so it makes sense to take a look at the final and go through it, and then you can ask me any questions you want to ask at the help lab. Okay? So,
Like, honestly, the website sucks bad. And there's nothing on here that says anything about final schedules, which is awful. There's an event calendar. And on it, it says, yeah, there's finals going on this day. And that's it.
Oh, well.
Good times.
I believe the final is the 9:30 classes that meet Tuesday and Thursday, that it's actually a Tuesday.
Someone needs to get their heads out of the
pants.
Jeez.
But anyway, I will post it either in the morning of Tuesday or the morning of Thursday. That definitely gives you one day. Actually, if it's Thursday, I'll post it Wednesday, so you'll have an extra day to look at it before you come in. But anyway,
sorry.
That is when you can ask about the final, but I am not here finals week because watching you take a final is exceptionally boring. So you can ask me questions before, or you can email me. I'll be at my computer. The other thing is, I started to say something before I said it was boring. Oh, you're not going to want to be here. I mean, I have a choice because you come to class. This is a student option class, and I could say, okay, in-class students have to take the final for 2 hours, and at-home students get it for a whole week. But that just doesn't quite seem right.
Yeah.
So therefore, everybody gets it for the whole week, okay? So you get a week to take the final. Now, it is not a two-hour final, unless you don't have to check anything. If you know everything and you can go through the final and just answer the questions, boom, 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 then it's probably about a 2 to 3 hour final. If you have to look things up, it's going to take longer than 2 hours.
8 hours.
Okay? Whatever.
I fly through it and there's one question, I'm just like stuck.
Okay. Well, maybe more than one. But essentially, you know, don't plan on doing it Monday night, starting at 10 o'clock, etc. Okay? You should be taking a look at it ahead of time.
They posted the finals 2 years ago on December 5th. So I'm just going to say it's going to get closer to that.
All right, but what would a 9:30 class on Tuesday have been then? Because I think they do
exactly.
The same.
It's probably going to be 9:30 on Tuesday.
Right.
Is it due at 9:30?
It's due at the start of the final.
Okay.
It's due not at the end of the final, but at the start of the final. Okay, so it's due at the start of the final, and you have a week of having it in your possession. Okay, and it's due at the start of the
fight. I want to recommend.
What?
Try not to use selective words. Just saying.
Yeah.
In other words, selection. Don't use selection on things or whatever. I don't know what's in the article. I'm just throwing it out there.
He used a word.
On my final.
That was what? That was in PHP, right?
Visual Basic.
Visual Basic? Okay.
Oh my gosh. I had everything okay. Everything was peachy, and then it just didn't work because of selection.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, there are reserved words in all languages. And if you go in, I wonder if it actually would give you a list. Reserved words.
Look
at reserved words. When I type in reserved words, it says reserved words in.
Yeah.
And there's reserved words in Oracle.
Well,
all right, what is a G Oracle reserved word as opposed to a D Oracle reserved word?
One comes first in the alphabet?
That might
be it.
Actually, I'm glad I looked at this. This is good.
These are the reserved words that Oracle...
Don't use percent for a table.
And, you know, a lot of them you've seen before. You know that you recognize a lot of these words. And if you go to D... And so it gives you the whole list of reserved words. I mean, I tend to misspell, you know, when I started programming, there were a lot of misspells. So I've come to actually use name now, but I used to never use name. I always used to call it N-A-M-Z-E-Z or N-A-M-Z. But name isn't in the list. And I've used name in here, but for things like name used to be a reserved word in a couple of the languages that I started out with, and so I started ending up with N-A-M-E-Z or N-A-M-Z. Just throwing a Z on most anything makes it a non-reserved word.
W-K in the beginning, like...
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one. Like,
but anything like that. So those are the reserved words. Okay, let's take a look at that program that I keep forgetting about.
Seems like so
out of curiosity, like when this class started, how many people were in here? Now that there's like...
I would say like 10, right?
15?
At least 10.
I don't know.
That's
kind of
curious.
There's someone here, she comes usually.
She's still in the class, actually. I emailed her.
Yeah. It's a student option, right?
This is student option.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some people, actually, there's one guy that's going to get an A that you've never seen. And I can think of him in particular because he just does really good work. He works in the field. And he's more here to get credentials. But he's out there working in the field and he needs the credentials. So, he just does super work. And so, you know, he's... And there's more than just him. There's several online students that you'll never see.
Like, he knows what he's doing, but doesn't have a certificate to back it up?
He doesn't have a degree to back it up.
So how did he learn to do SQL?
I have no idea. I never asked him.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my degree is in economics.
Oh.
Okay. I have my degree in economics. Well, back then there wasn't a lot of degrees floating around.
And this is a major industry.
You know, I got, as I think I've told you before, I got sent to school. I got hired by a company.
Yeah.
Based on an aptitude test that my father gave me very good advice, which was, in that times it was easier to get interviews, was to go and take the test at a few companies I definitely didn't want to work in, like north of Boston, and so that I was acing the tests. And there were a variety of tests, but still, if you got used to taking them, you got used to it. And I, you know, got to the point that I was acing the tests, and then I started applying for jobs that I really wanted. And, you know, I was acing the tests. Certainly, I didn't the first time I took one. I had no idea what they were talking about. But yeah, exactly. And so I ended up getting a job as a programmer. And they sent me to school for a week and a half and then sent me back and said, stop programming.
So the student that you have, is he older?
I have no idea. I've never seen him.
He must be older.
He might be.
He might be younger.
Right.
He has to be. There's no way he's like my age.
He might be.
You know, but anyway, he's got a job in the field, and I'd have no idea whether it was at one point a lower level job and he worked up into being a program. I have no idea. But, you know, you come to a point where some companies, at least, there's a glass ceiling. And for some companies, the glass ceiling is an associate's degree. For some companies, it's a bachelor's degree. For some companies, it's a master's degree. But you hit a glass ceiling that, unless you're absolutely phenomenal, you're not going to get a higher level job. And lots of times, it's when you hit management area. Right. But then, you know, you're probably going to want to pick up a bachelor's.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in this field, I think bachelor's is usually sufficient.
The standard, yeah.
But some companies want to get master's, and they...
Yeah, but that's what they want, like a senior programmer.
That's what they want.
Somebody
yeah,
who, like, is overseeing.
Senior administrator.
Right.
Yeah.
And they may want to get, so there's some, but in this field it's mainly a bachelor's that people are looking for.
Yeah.
Now, do you think they care? Because when I was, like, researching, like, senior administrative jobs and things like that, just researching in general the field and whatnot, they said that they like the administrators to have a computer science degree.
There are some companies that definitely want computer science.
Yeah.
Computer science, in all honesty, is the high end of the pay scale. It's a lot of math, and it's a lot of theory.
Dan, he's such a good math teacher.
That's what I've heard.
That he, like, even for me, who isn't, like, I'm not dumb when it comes to math, I just don't test well in it. Usually, I managed to get B's in his classes, so.
By the way, this is being recorded, and actually it's kind of interesting, but if you don't want to be recorded.
Oh, I'm used to it by now.
Stop talking.
Yeah, no.
You know,
but I mean, this is kind of an interesting discussion that I think people at home would enjoy. So let's.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like, if you're gonna, you know, like, I've looked into the computer science degree, 4-year degrees, because eventually I plan to do that.
And Bridgewater.
But Bridgewater has a good one. Greg Sitharis, his father, started the program at Bridgewater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I know him. So I was talking to him, and he told me his father was the first person, like, he was the guy who started that program there, and he knows it requires certain maths. He's like, but Dan is such a good teacher that sometimes if you feel like you're not going to excel in the 4-year teachers, because sometimes, like, I've taken 4-year math classes, and I don't feel they break it down as easily as him. He writes notes on the board in chalk. He writes it out for you. He gives you examples.
Oh, no. And I've told that to people, that it's also a smaller class.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of times you go into a university and your calculus class is a lecture hall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think lots of times it makes more sense to have it in a smaller environment where the instructor gets to know you and you're more comfortable asking questions. Then, you know, I mean, I can remember when I was a freshman taking some classes. Luckily, math was not one of them. But in a lecture hall of, you know, 200 people.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that you just are...
You take a lot of notes.
Right. I mean, you're just, you know, you're just a number in that class. And so, you know, that lecture hall thing, I think is not as good for math.
Yeah.
I think it's better to be in a small thing where you can say, wait a minute, I'm not following you.
Oh, okay then.
Like, you know, it's funny because I went to my first college experience at UMass Amherst. And my first political science class there had like at least over 100 people. But they always had the one section a week that was a broken
right.
30.
Usually taught by a grad student, not by the professor, but by a grad student.
Yeah.
No, the lectures are given by the professor, and at least in most places, the sections are taught by grad students.
Yeah.
And if you get a good grad student, sometimes that's terrific.
Yeah.
Because they will really sit and go over stuff with you.
Yeah.
If you don't get a good grad student, sometimes it's not terrific.
Yeah, exactly.
If you happen to have any questions.
Yeah, so I guess my thought process is like, I just wonder if they'll take the masks if I don't take them there.
Wait a minute, guys, are we really done?
It's 10:38.
Hello, I'm teaching a class still.
But I just wonder if they'll just grab those credits from me and the math credits. I don't see why they wouldn't, though.
If you're in the transfer program, then
I think our calculus transfer is just fine, and I know our discrete math transfer is just fine. I don't think Bridgewater requires discrete math. They require something else.
Yeah,
we basically are a clone. Our computer, here we go. Our computer science program is a clone of UMass Dartmouth.
They have computer science there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's in the engineering area, but it's computer science.
I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
And our computer science program that we have here is a clone of theirs. Basically, we got a grant from the National Science Foundation to work with them to develop the first 2 years of their program. So you go to UMass Dartmouth totally seamlessly.
Yeah.
You've had exactly the same courses here that they have over there.
Oh. Do they have
and so they're
science?
A perfect match.
At Roger Williams?
I believe so. I don't know.
This is the sister school to that university.
What is?
Roger Williams.
Okay.
BCC is a sister school.
Okay. I mean, we transfer a bunch of things.
But they have like a special thing.
Okay.
I think they take a lot at Bridgewater too.
And they do, and we have a transfer with Bridgewater too in computer science.
But
you know, the transfer in information systems is a little looser. Because information systems tends to say it doesn't matter what language you have or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we want to look at this answer, we should stop because I've got 5 minutes. And I will look at it a little more next Tuesday. But if you want to see it now, I really should find it.
Honestly, Bridgewater is a good school. But I'm there. It's terrible. The parking? Whatever. the education was good.
No, you don't understand. You might walk me 5 miles.
Okay, Test Cursor 1 is the name of it.
No,
okay.
Test Cursor 1.
Yes. Is anybody listening to me?
Yeah.
This guy.
Promise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to open another pad and file, open, test cursor. And I'll put them up on my website now and we'll can look at them again on Tuesday. But essentially here was where I switched over. This is the one we've already looked at. And I said, select distinct manager. And so I switched over. But at that point, I got rid of the table. And so I had to have special coding to go through the cursor to find particular records. And we mentioned in class that it was easier when they were in the table. Remember again, table is now a definition of something that is close to being an array as opposed to a table, which is a table in a database. We've got two types of tables here. So what I did here is I said select distinct manager, and I've now got the cursor that has all of the managers. So what I did was I put this little tiny loop at the top where I said, okay, open the employee one, which executes the select. Now fetch the first thing. And then I said, okay, if the first thing is not already in the table, put it in the table. So essentially, I wrote it to the table. Or actually, I didn't do that check. I just wrote it, sorry. I just wrote it to the table. So I said, while it's still found, take the manager ID and put it in the table and add one to count. And I just kept putting it into the table. Okay? So the first time in the table there was nothing, so it goes into the first slot, and then the second time, and I keep adding one to count. So it goes into the table. So now I have the table, and I close employee one, I open employee two, and I do the same processing that I did in the ones that are online, that are already up there. And I just went through and compared to the table. Whereas with the one that I did before, when I just used the cursors, I had to do more of a checking out to see if it was in the table from my tape, in the cursor rather, and it was more difficult. So I will put those two up, take a look at them, and we can go through them again on Tuesday along with the other stuff that I'm looking at. But basically, that was the change I made. Instead of leaving it that I would have to match two tables, I took and put them into a table and then immediately put them into, put them into a cursor and then immediately put them into the table. Okay, so the cursor gets the distinct, and all this loop does is take and move everything from the cursor up to the table. So it just makes a copy in the table. And that's why it's just a simple little while loop. While there's still something found, move it to the table. And then I printed it out just so you could see it. And then I said, okay, now fetch. So get the next one. As long as it was found, move it to the table. Fetch. As long as it was found, move it to the table. So I went through that quick little loop, moving it to the table. And now it's in the table, so I can use the same processing that I did on the examples that are online in my notes. Okay, so those two are two different things. And as I said, I will put them online. But those are the two tables. And I've also now taken pictures of them, so you can see them too. Okay, and it's 10:45, so we're done. Huh? The previous class must have gotten out early. Because I had two people walk in 10 minutes ago. I said, wait a minute, not quite done.
And you're not going to be here tomorrow, right?
Right. I am going to be in New York. I'm going down tonight because of the storm tomorrow. I was going to go down. Actually, I think we'll go on Tuesday night anyway, because my husband doesn't like to drive on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going Thursday morning early to Western Mass now because that storm.
Yeah.
So.
How long is this course, the 121? How, like, for time? Was it, like, 12?
Say that again.
It's from 11 to 12:15. And then after that, it's 12:30 to 1:40.
So I'll be at 1:18 after we're back.
Okay, actually, I should.